Welcome to another edition of Suits Talk. I'm your host, Aaron, and as always, I'm joined by my main man, Nick. Today, we're talking about Suits Season 4, Episode 2, titled Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner. Nick, what'd you think of the episode?
I just want to say off the bat that the title is hilarious once you finish the episode. Overall, though, 6 out of 10. Not my favorite.
6 out of 10.
Yep, not my favorite. It's one of the slower episodes, I think. Didn't really have much going on. And when it did have stuff going on, it kind of led to empty points, I think.
I agree that it was a slow episode, but I think it was a good episode. Sometimes with slow episodes, it's like there's no content. But this was good. It was just kind of, it was slow to develop. I think the second half of the episode was a lot better than the beginning. The beginning was kind of just baseless.
Well, it's slow to our conventions because we're expecting this Harvey Mike drama. That's what we've been teased. That's what we saw last episode. So I think we're just expecting that. But instead we get more of a Lewis development with Katrina and him getting the new office. I think the episode was more Lewis-centric, or at least more secondary character-centric than it was main character.
I mean, a lot went on with Harvey and Mike.
Yeah, but I mean, it seemed like bulk of the episode because you have the beginning where Lewis is prepping that presentation, and then he meets Jeff, and they tag team together, and then he gets the office, and I thought it was more Lewis-centric than Mike Harvey.
Okay, well, before we go any further, I would give the episode a solid 7.2.
7.2, that's so specific.
Well, that's the number that came to my head when I thought of the episode, 7.2.
Why the .2? Where did that come
because
from?
Because that's just... It's a 7.2. Don't question me. I'm
so
the host.
You just saw it.
You're the co-host. I'm telling you it's a 7.2. End of story. We're moving on. So at the beginning of the episode, I kind of noticed something that, I mean, in the first episode of the season, it could have just been like a thing that they did for that episode. But now, two episodes in, I'm starting to think that this is going to be a trend. I feel like the only comic relief that the show has right now is Lewis.
I mean, I think I'd agree. I mean, he's always sort of been the comic relief, though. And, you know, Rick Hoffman plays the character to perfection because I think when they gave him the character, I think he really understood who he was because he's sort of good and bad at the same time, you know, because, like, there's some episodes where you hate Lewis and then there's other times, like this episode, where you're like, man, I feel so bad for the guy. Like, he always gets crapped on at Pierce Inspector.
Well, I don't think he's always been the main. I think in previous seasons when we had Harvey and Mike together, we kind of had them creating some comic value there. Like they were, there's always something funny or some snide like reference that they were making, and we're not seeing that anymore because they're not together anymore. So now all their interactions are fiery battles.
So would you say that they're being excessive with the Lewis comical relief?
I think at the beginning of this episode, I said to you after the second or third commercial break that I felt like they were being excessive with the comic relief, especially after the whole thing with Jessica, like he was hallucinating her saying, you suck.
You suck.
You suck. I mean, it was funny. I laughed, but I just feel like they were playing up Lewis too much because he's a funny character, but there needs to be things that go on with him on the screen that aren't them trying to make us laugh with him. And so, of course, after I say that, the rest of the episode, he's completely serious.
Yeah.
And we get a completely serious plot line for him. So I guess it's kind of a moot point now.
The only thing I hope is that they don't overdo his character traits. It's called Flanderization. It's popularized from The Simpsons, where you had Homer Simpson and you had the next door neighbor, and he was this overly devout religious guy, and it was kind of funny at first, and then they just kind of exaggerated his traits, and I hope they don't do that with Lewis, or they just kind of exaggerate him being kind of weird, you know, because we saw him talking to a chair, hallucinating, he was writing in a diary, and he has a diary as well as his dictaphone. It's just kind of, it seems to me like they keep adding on things weird that he does because it's funny, and it does make me laugh, but I hope his character doesn't become consumed by it. I don't think
yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And also, I also said it was a Lewis-centric episode, but we also saw a lot more interaction with Katrina and Lewis than we've seen in previous episodes.
I mean, we did see a lot of it in the last episode, but
that's true.
You know, when you only have one episode to go on, it's hard to look, you can't look for trends, but now it's like, okay, we've got two episodes. Maybe we'll see if we see, hey, we've still got Katrina, a lot of screen time in the third and fourth episode. It's like, maybe they really want to go in this direction and make her a character.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely see a lot of interaction between Katrina and Lewis, but did you feel like that exchange between them was kind of too vulgar for Suits? Like, it was one of those things where it dropped and I was like, oh, that's hilarious. And I was like,
Well, it makes me wonder if, because, you know, at this point, Suits is a TV giant. It makes me wonder if they're kind of just saying, well, we are USA, so we can do whatever we want.
I mean, pretty much.
It's funny. The title of the episode is Breakfast, Lunch, and Dinner. And if you're listening to this and you've seen the episode, I'm sure you know why. And it's just, it's so funny that, like, that they would add that line, even though he was talking about chicken. It's funny that they would add that line and then make it like a big deal. Like, they name the episode after that, and they have all these pictures on Twitter, and it's just...
Well, I think it goes back to what I was saying, is it's a really Lewis-centric episode, and I'm glad it was, because I think if we have too much of the Harvey Mike stuff unfold too often, it's not going to feel natural. So we need to flesh out the other characters. I don't want Jessica and Jeff and Lewis to take a backseat to Harvey Mike, Rachel, Harvey Mike, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and on top of all of that, we did have some plot development for Lewis this episode, which I kind of hit on earlier. Lewis kind of, we saw, I mean, not really a blossoming friendship, but we saw some friendship development there with Lewis and Donna. Maybe not friendship for Lewis, but friendship development there for them. And even though the episode started off bad for Lewis and Jeff, I think that we saw the beginning of the next big 1-2 punch at Pearson Speck.
Because we know Harvey and Mike are never coming back, so... Or
they are maybe coming they will back. At the end of they the season. They will be back. It'll be back before the end of the season.
You know, and just to go off that point with Donna and Lewis, it's funny that she gave him the gift as, like, a friend, and she even calls him a friend. She says something like, bitter memories turn bittersweet when you share them with a friend. And Lewis, being Lewis, takes that and is like, oh, and he takes the picture when she leaves and puts it on his desk and gives this little, like, smile, like...
Lights up like a Christmas tree.
Right. So, I don't know if there will be romantic. I think they're just teasing that, as always. I think it's just, it'll be something Lewis, like, has a crush on Donna or something. It causes an additional rift between Harvey and him.
Lewis has always had a thing for Donna.
Yeah, but I don't think it's been as... defined, as it is in this episode.
I don't think Donna will ever have a real love interest on the show. I'm sorry, all of you Darby promoters, but it's never going to happen. So,
you know, it's
just stop discussing Donna romantic, because it's never going to happen, ever.
Well, you know, at the beginning of the episode, when we saw Jeff and Lewis and they were kind of facing off against each other, yelling and screaming back and forth, I thought, firm divided, maybe Lewis and Jeff will have a rift, and that'll hit with Jessica for making Jeff senior partner before Lewis. We already saw how that kind of tortured him a little bit.
Lewis is already a senior partner.
I mean, a senior partner. Name partner.
She didn't make Jeff a name partner.
This just went so wrong. This just went so wrong.
That is going in the bloopers at the end.
I messed that up.
Dominating you. You can just keep that in.
What I meant to say was he was was that it caused a rift because it took him forever to go from junior partner to senior partner, and this guy just walks in. It's like, hey, I'm senior partner, and he just kind of has this breakdown, you know. And he gets the corner office, and I wondered if that caused a rift with Lewis and Jessica, and then Donna has to come and mediate that so that he gets the corner office.
So you seriously thought that at the beginning of this episode, after all that they would really base the entire season off of Lewis and Jeff dividing the firm?
No. Because
that's the theme for the season.
No, like what I was saying is that, you know, the theme for the season is a firm divided. And that might just be a tagline to play up the Mike and Harvey. But I thought something might happen with other characters. I thought maybe Jeff and Lewis would start something between Lewis and Jessica, you know, because we already know he's kind of bitter about him taking so long to become a senior partner. Yeah. And this guy just walks in
like multiple divisions of the firm. That's what you meant.
Yeah. All right. So moving on from Lewis, we got some stuff with Mike. Now, last episode, you talked about the noticeable change in Mike's appearance with his tie. What did you think about his appearance in this episode?
I didn't really notice anything at the beginning. He didn't really have anything special going on. But I first noticed when he went into that meeting with Harvey and what's that guy's name?
Walter, no.
Whatever, the guy that Rachel...
Logan Sanders,
yeah, him. When he first went into the meeting with Logan and Harvey, he had on like a baller silk suit and he had on another tie that was just untraditional for Mike because, you know, in the last few seasons, for him it was, I talked about this last time, but for him it was always black or gray or just a little baby tie. And he's wearing these baller like silky like red, maroon or blue ties that really pop. I wonder if this is like intentional, like he is graduated into legit suits.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has a noticeable change in appearance. The first time they met, the first time Logan and Mike met face to face, which, by the way, I knew that was a bad idea as soon as they sat down. I knew something was going to erupt.
Actually, the first time they met face to face was in the bathroom, not when they sat down at the table.
In the deposition, I mean.
Uh-huh.
I should probably clarify when I'm podcasting, yeah, because I got confused twice now.
Go ahead and put these little like snippets up after you've already said what you meant to say.
Anyways, but yeah, so when they sat down for the deposition, I knew something bad was going to happen. And it's almost like they were talking in code, like they were talking about the business deal, but they were both alluding to Rachel kind of when Logan said, you know, I take what I want and I get what I want and I can tell. Mike understood what he meant. He was getting all pissed off about it. And I love how Mike ends it. Mike ends it by taking the papers and be like,
throwing it.
We're done here. And just walks out.
I sort of got the same vibe about Logan with talking about Rachel. But then at the same time, I wonder if that is just the writers trying to tease us. Because
yeah,
I think it's possible that we could see like some sort of like thing where Rachel's like, oh my gosh, I could go back to Logan or whatever. But And I know going into the season, that was one of the things that we said was going to happen, was going to be, well, Mike's going to have some sort of rift with Rachel over him and another girl or her and another guy. And I'm starting to think now, based on the short interaction that Rachel and Logan had, that I just don't think that's going to be a plot that they explore.
Honestly, I can confidently say I really will be disappointed if Rachel... goes back with Logan or tries to, because he just seems really like a scumbag. I mean,
yeah, but he's a billionaire.
He just seems to be everything bad about a person.
Well, when in
I mean, he cheated on his wife with her, so I don't know why she'd be interested. Yeah, so for her to go back would be like a downgrade in her character almost.
In the flashback, I think she's smarter than that. In the beginning of the episode, he seemed very sweet to her. In the flashback, so
because she's his side chick, of course he's nice to her. meanwhile, his wife's at home, like, honey, where are you? It's a meeting, baby. He's like, hey, Rachel.
Yeah, I don't think he's a bad guy. I just think he's misunderstood.
Oh, playing the defense with Logan Sanders, are you? I see how it is. Okay, well, I want to talk about something that we haven't really talked about in any of our podcasts. What do you think of the direction of the show, like how the directors did? I noticed the episode was shot very different from the other episodes were. Well, did you get the same vibe?
Yeah, I feel like I want to, this isn't something that I've like done a lot of research on, like looking at the various directors that we have for the show, and I know some of the writers, but I feel like especially in this episode, but even in the last episode, we just kind of got some like weird stuff going on the screen, like with the Lewis hallucination with Jessica saying he sucks and just like how they were like zooming in on her lips, and then the way that the flashback was interwoven, but it was only like 15 or 20 seconds. It's just not stuff that we've seen before from the show, which is good because we want to keep it fresh. But
yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I thought the shot of Lewis having his little panic attack almost with the mouth being like, you suck, Lewis. It was just very strange for Suits, and a lot of things felt off about the episode with the vulgarity of it and the direction style. It seemed kind of off, but I don't dislike it. I think it was interesting. I like that it was fresh.
Well, it's weird because, I mean, the whole season is kind of like the show is going in a direction that it hasn't been before, because in the previous seasons, Mike was at Pierce and Spectre, and Mike and Harvey are a team. And now it's Mike and Harvey are against each other, and we're seeing weird directing things. And the show is, as usual, great because we have a great set of writers and a great staff and a great group of actors with the show, but it's just like they're going in a new direction. Maybe not a totally new direction, obviously, but they're trying new things with the show, which is good because it keeps the show not feeling repetitive, which is something that you see in a lot of like especially lawyer shows. That's the kind of, that stuff, like
Law and Order bores me to tears.
Law and Order. That's the first thing that came to my mind. Law and Order.
Ding ding. Oh my god, every episode.
Oh my god, I'm getting a headache thinking about it.
But the cinematography, one thing I pay attention to in a lot of TV shows and movies is the cinematography, and I can tell they're kind of putting this dark filter on the show. It seems really dark now.
Can you for us uneducated listeners, what in the hell is cinematography?
Cinematography is just kind of how it's shot and composed. Like the filters they put on it, the shots they use, why they use the shots. You can tell when you watch the show from season 1, 2, and then you watch 3 and 4, the tone to it with just the picture, not the story or the characters, just the tone of the picture looks kind of darker. And I mean, while it's not getting darker as a show, we're seeing it kind of get more serious. I wonder if it's supposed to just kind of amplify that in us.
Yeah, like this picture that we have on the screen right now, it's very dark.
Yeah,
is that what you mean?
Yeah, and a lot of scenes at nighttime. I think we saw daytime like maybe 1 or 2 times in this episode when Harvey was getting his hot dog.
Well, I mean, they were inside during daytime all the time.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, it just feels different. But I also read into cinematography a lot, so maybe I'm just reading too much into it. But who knows?
Nick's brief glance into cinematography. We'll explore this multiple times throughout the season. Not really. Nobody cares.
Well, I care, and it'll always be interesting. So okay. Keep that.
Well, just make sure if you really care about Nick's cinematography, then let us know. Otherwise, we'll cut that segment. Anyways, moving on to the really important stuff.
The big one.
The big fish. So obviously, the show this season is about Mike versus Harvey. And I feel like in this episode, it was definitely like a roller coaster ride because for the first 30 minutes, we saw Mike just dominate Harvey at every turn. And then Harvey pulled the thing with the union and the pension, and Mike was just like destroyed, and Sigwell told Mike that he was done and it was over. And Mike begged Harvey, which is not something I really expected to see. And then Mike won in the end. Well, he didn't die. When Mike was in the meeting with, what's that guy's name?
Walter Gillis.
When Mike was in his office, he is basically like, it's going exactly like he thought it was going to go. The Walter Gillis thinks he played him, blah, 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 blah. And then Mike, like his compassionate side comes out and he calls him a crockety old man or whatever. And it kind of hit me there, like especially after like Gillis just kind of like sat down, and after that they kind of figured out what they were going to do. And even though he didn't really forgive him, Mike made it out alive. And it just made me, I feel like I realized what they're going to do with this season with Mike versus Harvey. I feel like we're going to see, because especially in the end of season 3 and now in season 4, we're seeing that Harvey is becoming the bad guy. Like, this is some, like Harvey Two-Face stuff, like Batman style, like, die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. Harvey is becoming the villain. He's becoming a bad guy, and Mike is going to become, he is becoming the antithesis of Harvey. He's the anti-Harvey. He's gonna win as much as Harvey through compassion. That's what I think.
I couldn't agree more, and this is why. The show, when they first teamed up together in the first season, they had a big conflict between, not a big conflict, I say big, but originally Mike had an issue with how Harvey did business, because Harvey always closed, he never went to court, he always got someone to settle. And even if it meant screwing over this person or this person, Mike doesn't want that. So Mike's always had that compassionate side to him. And I think we deviated from it because he was under Harvey's wing so long.
It's not really a deviation. It was more Mike became Harvey. And then now Mike is against Harvey and the compassionate Mike is coming back. And I think, like I told you in the last episode, the good guy will win. And the good guy is Mike Ross.
Well, it's weird because you think Harvey's a main character too, and we think of him as a good guy. But you got to remember that Pearson Spector has been through a lot of stuff. They're under investigation by the SEC. Something's up there. And even though Harvey's a good lawyer, I don't know if he's a good lawyer, if you know what I mean. I mean, I don't think you can settle consistently without being kind of shady in your tactics. And we've talked about that. I mean, I think he's kind of sleazy sometimes. I remember in this episode that you said, wow, Harvey's kind of a sleazeball sometimes. But maybe that was just because we saw Mike being compassionate and immediately after we see Harvey not. Maybe it puts it into perspective.
Well, I think there's no doubting that even though we love him, Harvey is definitely a sleazeball.
I think sleazeball might be a bit rough of a word to call him. I think he just gets the work done by any means. A sleazeball would be like Cameron Dennis, you know, that's like burying evidence and a criminal just to get his way. I didn't say he was a criminal, I just said he was a sleazeball.
There's a difference.
But I was comparing him to Cameron Dennis. But it's funny that Harvey hates Cameron Dennis so much, but he acts like him. I think that's funny.
Oh, that's so funny. I'm laughing. Ha ha ha.
All right, bro. I see how it is. I think it's funny. I think it's ironic, and that's what humor is, Aaron. So I had to explain cinematography to you. Do I have to explain humor now, too?
No, I don't. That's what I thought.
Irony is funny.
You know absolutely nothing about humor.
Okay.
And I think that's well established. Okay, well, I think we've hit on all of our points. You have anything else you want to throw in about this episode?
One thing, and it's also humor, so you can take that one and shove it. I like when Mike summons Harvey at the hot dog stand, where Harvey always is. Like, we've seen him there in several episodes. He turns around, he's like, hey, Mike, how's it going? He's like, you are summoned. And it kind of hits Harvey like, wow, Mike's really being serious about this. I don't think he took it seriously until that happened. He's like, wow, I got to go to court.
Yeah.
It kind of, like, ruined his day. I thought that was funny. But other than that, I don't have any other comments. I thought it was an okay episode.
Okay, well, I thought it was an above-average episode because it was a 7.2.
I mean, obviously, I say it's a 6, you say 7.2, so it's going to be better to you.
Are you guys hearing this? This guy does not...
It was mediocre.
This guy does not appreciate Suits.
It was...
The worst Suits episode would get, like, a 5 for me. Like, the absolute worst episode.
It's a big claim to say it's a 6, so I'm not a big Suits fan.
So you're saying that this episode is only one step above the worst Suits episode. That's
okay, first of all, you set the criteria as the worst episode as a 5, not me.
Well, I'm a bigger Suits fan than you, so okay. I get to set the criteria.
We'll settle this off the record because I don't want our fans.
Oh, your fans. They're your fans.
Because I don't want our fans to hear me torch you. So I'll just settle this off the record.
Or you just are unable to torch me.
We'll see about that.
Okay. Anyways, back to the ending. We are out of here. We will talk to you guys next week for season 4, episode 3. I can't wait. I know Nick can't wait.
I can wait if it's going to be mediocre. I had to do it.
Oh, my God. Just no.
Okay. I had to do it.
Bye, guys. As always, you can follow us at Suits Podcast on Twitter. You guys have a good one. We'll see you next Thursday night. So you really think that this episode was only one step above the worst Suits episode?
Okay. Like I said, you set the criteria for the worst Suits episode, not me. I never said 5 out of 10 was the worst.
Okay, well, I'm the host of the officially unofficial.
And I'm the producer. I can do what I want.
No, I'm the host. I can do what I want. I'm the important one.
I'm the co-host.
They come for me.
I manage the Twitter. I manage our podcast.
I thought you wanted to be calm.